Caleb. God bless you. Brother Chris, thank you for accompanying him this morning. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to find the Gospel of John, John chapter 17 and verse 6. John chapter 17 and verse 6. We are continuing our verse-by-verse and chapter-by-chapter study of John's Gospel. Here in John chapter 17, we are seeing and hearing the Lord's Prayer. Now remember, this is not the Lord's Prayer of Matthew 6, where Jesus taught us to pray. This is the Lord Jesus actually praying here in John 17. And if you'll remember, last week he prayed for himself. This morning in verses 6 through 19, we're going to see and hear him pray for his disciples, those 11 who were still with him at this time. And then the next time we are in John's Gospel, believe it or not, he will pray for you. He will pray for us. He will pray for all of the believers who would follow his disciples, and that includes those in this room, and that is John chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. Remember, this is the latest of the hours of Thursday night. Perhaps we've even crossed over into the very first few minutes of Friday morning. Jesus and his disciples were on their way and perhaps had even already arrived at the Garden of Gethsemane. And last week we heard Jesus praying to the Father for himself. And so we continue to look at that prayer this morning, beginning today in verse 6. And through verse 19. And so if you have found John chapter 17 and verse 6, and you are able, if you will stand with me for the reading of God's word, following along on the screens behind me or in your copy of the scriptures. Jesus said, "I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I've given them to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for your word. Over these next few moments, Lord, I ask and pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that is receptive to the Word of God and what it means in our lives. And Lord, would you please be at work in our midst, molding us and shaping us more into the image of Christ, drawing those who are not saved this morning unto yourself and convicting them and us of sin. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you and you may be seated. Picking up in verse 6, Jesus is simply having a conversation, talking to his Father. And by the way, brothers and sisters, isn't that simply what prayer is? Sometimes I believe that we overcomplicate matters. And I certainly understand that there are more who feel, there are those who feel more comfortable in praying out loud or in front of a group, and those who feel less comfortable. But I do simply want you to know this morning that prayer is just that, having a conversation with your Heavenly Father. You are talking unto Him. You are demonstrating that you are dependent upon Him because He's the one in control. Amen? And so we go to Him. You don't have to go through me. You don't have to go through anyone else. If you have been born again and have Jesus Christ in your life as Lord and Savior, if you have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit, then you have direct access to God. And you can pray and feel comfortable in praying, whether we're talking about a Sunday morning, we're talking about a Sunday night, a Wednesday night, we're talking about you in private in your prayer closet. Prayer is simply talking unto our Father. Jesus says here in verses 6 through 8 that he portrayed the Father to the disciples. Verse 6, I have manifested your name to the men you have given me out of the world. And as a result of Jesus manifesting himself, portraying God the Father to these men have in turn received God's word and have kept it. They have been obedient to it. That's what the rest of verse 6 and 7 and beginning of verse 8 says. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Verse 7, now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me. They've received them. So Jesus portrayed the Father to the disciples. The disciples then in turn were obedient to the Father's word. And then notice at the end of verse 8, because Jesus portrayed the Father to them, they recognized that Jesus was from God. Jesus was from God the Father. God the Son came from God the Father. The end of verse 8. And they have received them, that's Father's word, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. Looking there at verse 9, we see Jesus' first prayer for his disciples. I pray for them. What did Jesus pray for them? Three requests that you will see here in today's text. Number one, Jesus prayed for his disciples' security for eternity. He prayed for their security for eternity. And you find this idea in the word keep or kept. specifically in verses 11 and 12. Look what Jesus said. Now I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, and then watch this, here's the word, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. And then Jesus himself says, verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. Jesus prayed for his disciples' security for eternity. We talk about the security of the believer, how the believer, once that individual has been genuinely and truly born again, that he or she is secure, meaning that he or she cannot lose his or her salvation. By the way, not all Christians believe that. Not all churches believe that. Historically and traditionally, Baptists have believed that. That you are saved. If you are genuinely saved, you are saved for eternity. Now notice why they are saved. Verse 9. They're saved because they belong to God the Father. Verse 9. But for those you have given me, for they are yours. These disciples belonged to God the Father. They were his. And their security was based upon him. And then in verse 11, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me. So they're also secure because they are kept through his name. Well, what does that mean? Well, that's a reference. A reference to a person's name is a reference to their character. And the character of God is faithfulness. Amen? He is faithful to keep us, even when we wander away. It's very appropriate to think on Mother's Day, moms and dads, how we have had children in crowds, and what do we do? Hopefully, we are holding on to them tightly so as not to get separated from us. And the child's security is not based upon their desire. It's not based on their willingness. It's not based on their ability. Because certainly they will do their best to try to squirm away, right? Particularly if the temptation is great. See, their security is based on the faithfulness of the parent to hold them tightly. And then this security there in verse 13 puts within us, if you in fact have been genuinely born again, genuinely saved. Verse 13, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Brothers and sisters, it should give us great joy if in fact God has saved us and he has secured us for eternity. It's not something that can be changed by the circumstances of the day. Oh, you're not having a good day. Things aren't going your way today. It matters not, because my joy is from the Lord, because the Father has secured me for eternity. So Jesus prayed for his disciples' security for eternity. Also notice, in verses 15 and 16, he prayed for their safety from the evil one. He prayed for their safety from the evil one. verse 15. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting that Jesus said, I'm not praying that you'll take the disciples out of the world. Now remember, the disciples are in a very stressful situation. Jesus is about to leave them. He's trying to prepare them for that there on Thursday evening in the upper room. Jesus has told them that one of you is going to betray me. They've heard that Peter's going to deny him. And so they're worried. They're concerned. And it would have been very easy for Jesus to pray, Lord, just take them out of the situation. I'm going to heaven. Take them to heaven. But that's not what he prayed. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. By the way, brothers and sisters, he also hasn't promised to take you out of the world either. He has left us here for a reason. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But, verse 15, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Because they had a job to do. Verse 16, they are not of the world. His disciples were not of the world, talking about the unbelieving, lost world, just as I am not of the world. Jesus prayed for his disciples' safety from the evil one. And then thirdly, beginning there in verse 17, Jesus prayed for his disciples' sanctification on earth. Verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. That word sanctified means to be set apart. It means to be devoted. It means to be committed to a particular action, a particular belief, a particular lifestyle, a particular behavior. Sanctify them, and then watch this, by your truth. Well, how do we know what truth is? Verse 17, your word is truth. Sanctify them by your word. If you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus prayed for his disciples' sanctification on earth. So Jesus prayed for his disciples. But yet even his prayers for his disciples have application for us this morning. Go back to that first prayer for just a moment. When we talk about security for eternity. Brothers and sisters, do you know, do you believe, if you have been born again, that in fact you are secure for eternity? But let's keep in mind as to why we are secure. You're not secure because you've walked an aisle during an altar call. You're not secure because you have passed through the waters of baptism. You're not secure because your church might believe in something called once saved, always saved. You're not secure, certainly, because of your morality or your righteousness. If, in fact, you have been born again, you are secure and only secure because of God's faithfulness. And make no mistake about that. All those other things coming forward during a public invitation, that by all means can be beneficial. Certainly, we believe that passing through the waters of baptism is an act of obedience. And we certainly do believe here at Emory Baptist Church in the security of the believer, and we would encourage you to live a life that honors Christ. But we are secure because of His faithfulness and His faithfulness alone. May you be encouraged this morning by that. Also, I would say to you this morning that we are also safe for eternity. Pardon me, safe from the evil one for eternity. Now, what is Jesus talking about here as it relates to safety? Well, he's certainly not talking about physical safety, right? Because all of the disciples, with the exception of the author of this gospel, all of the disciples except for John died a martyr's death. And so Jesus can't be praying here for physical safety, or else the Father didn't answer that request, and then that could present some other problems. But Jesus is praying here for spiritual safety. Spiritual safety from the evil one. And again, brothers and sisters, I would say to you this morning that God's word is clear that once you put your faith and trust in Christ, you are safe from the evil one, spiritually safe from the evil one for eternity. Satan cannot do anything to you spiritually. He will try to accuse you. He will try to get you to doubt your salvation. He will remind you again and again and again that you are a sinner. But let us remember those words. If you were in a Sunday school small group this morning, you were reminded there in John 19. Let us remember those words that Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." In a very mysterious way, in a way that our finite minds cannot comprehend, that when Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world, that was retroactive, all the sins that came before. That was in the present, and then that would also be for all the sins to come. His atonement was complete. However, even though we are spiritually safe from the evil one, physically and in this life, unfortunately, it is open season on the followers of Christ. Brothers and sisters, you know this to be true. Satan will do everything he can on earth to ruin your ministry. And by the way, that is the only reason you are left, right? Do you understand that? If God has saved you, He has not saved you and kept you here to live and realize the American dream. He has not saved you and has left you here to make $1 million. He has not saved you and left you here to be woman or man of the year in your community. The only reason that he has left you here, because when he saved you, he could have taken you to heaven, right? But the only reason he left you here on earth is to point others to Christ. That's the only reason. If you are a follower of Christ, he has left you here for one single solitary reason. With your words and your actions to point others to Jesus. But yet Satan will do everything he can to ruin your ministry. He will inflict pain and discomfort upon you, taking away your health. He will seek to destroy your marriage. He will try to drive a wedge between you and your children or other family members. He loves to see you go bankrupt and your businesses fail. He will do everything he can to ruin your witness on earth, but he cannot touch your soul for eternity. Because we are safe from the evil one. And then, number three, as it relates to sanctification on earth. We, brothers and sisters, are to be sanctified. We are to be different than the world. Notice the different occasions here in verses 6 through 19 that Jesus speaks of his disciples being not of the world. Look there in verse 6. You have given me these men out of the world. Okay? They're not of the world. God the Father has taken them spiritually out of the world. And then in verse 14, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. And then again in verse 16, they are not of the world. And brothers and sisters, what was true for them is also true for us. We are not of the world. We are called to be set apart. We are called to be sanctified. We are called to be different. We are called to be holy. And yet, I would suggest to you this morning that unfortunately, the church, I'm not necessarily talking about Emory Baptist Church, although we are included, the church has lost our influence in our community and in our country and in our world because we don't look so much different than the world today. You have pastors who are in love with money and in love with multiple women. And so they're caught with their hand in the offering plate and they're caught with their pants down. The world sees that and says, why would I want anything to do with Jesus? We get to election time, and more than being concerned with the values of the Bible, such as morality and justice, we're more concerned with the economy and jobs. The world is like, what? And then we have Christian students who cheat their way through school, who is at the life of every party with alcohol and marijuana and cocaine and the like, and sleeping with multiple partners, and yet they claim to be followers of Christ. Brothers and sisters, we are called to be sanctified by the truth. We're called to be set apart by the truth. How do we know the truth? God's word. That is what the truth is. The truth is not necessarily your opinion. The truth is not necessarily your preference. The truth is not necessarily what you think is right. The truth is God's word. And we're called to be sanctified by it. Set apart, different, holy. That was Jesus' prayer for his disciples. I would suggest to you this morning, it's also Jesus' prayer for us. But before Jesus can sanctify you, friend, Jesus has to save you. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ. In just a few moments, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond publicly to God's Word. And the truth of God's Word is that Jesus Christ died on the cross in your place for your sin. And so today, if you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, and you would answer that call to salvation, we would invite you today to admit that you're a sinner and that your sin separates you from God. We would invite you to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in your place for your sin. He made it possible for you to be at peace with God through a personal and saving relationship with Him. And we would invite you to call on the name of the Lord to save you. In just a moment, we'll be standing and singing, and I'll be here at the front. Brother Ronnie will be here at the front. And if today you would answer that call to faith in Christ, today we would invite you to step out of one of these aisles and make your way here to the front. Maybe here today, this morning, you have been convicted of sin in your life. We would invite you today to recommit your life unto the Lord. Rededicate your life unto the Lord, being sanctified by the truth. Maybe you want to answer that call to church membership this morning. If you're a guest with us and the Holy Spirit is leading you to unite with Emory Baptist Church, today we would invite you to come. If you know Christ as Savior and you follow through with believer's baptism. Brothers and sisters, Jesus has prayed for his disciples and in effect has prayed for us. Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful and thankful to know that your son Jesus has prayed for his disciples some 2,000 years ago, and those prayers are even effective and applicable for us today. Lord, thank you and praise you that you have secured us for eternity. You've given us safety from the evil one. And Father, help us to live lives of sanctification while here on earth, set apart by your truth, to live lives of holiness before a watching world. Father, we trust that your Spirit has been at work in our midst and in our time around your word. We now ask and pray that you would give individuals boldness and courage to respond publicly to what you're doing in their life. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning with your heads bowed? And as Brother Chris comes to lead us in our time of commitment, Brother Ronnie and I will be here at the front, and we'd welcome you today as you respond.